Success breeds complexity. After the East Africa bombings, and with a ripely symbolic millennium approaching, Al-Qaeda was determined to up the ante, stage more coordinated attacks at once, and prove more forcefully to the Muslim world that the United States could be bloodied. Operational planning became baroque. In preparing global fireworks for the global holiday, conspiracies were nestled one inside the other. The leadership in Afghanistan sought to exploit the jihadist network in several countries to carry out attacks over a span not of several hundred miles, as in August 1998, but several thousand. The centerpiece would be in Jordan, which would underscore that bin Laden's fight was not just with the United States, but with Christians, Jews, and the moderate regimes of the Muslim world. The 400-room Radisson Hotel in Amman was booked for the holidays. Most of the guests would be Americans, Christians coming to visit biblical sites. Israelis, still enjoying the brief political warming in the Middle East, would also be staying in the hotel. For Al-Qaeda, the hotel was an irresistible target. A large Jordanian cell, nearly 30 members, many of Palestinian origin, that was affiliated with the network, plotted the bombing. The group laid the groundwork for a series of secondary attacks, and the targets bespeak an effort to wipe out, so far as possible, non-believers in the country on the 2000th anniversary of the Christian era. The cell had a stock of firearms and intended to use them at Mount Nebo, where Moses is said to have glimpsed the promised land before dying. A site on the Jordan River associated with John the Baptist was slated for a similar attack. The group considered hitting two of the border crossings with Israel as well. Taken together, the explosions and gunfire would be worthy of a coup. The impact on Jordan, a country known in the region for its close ties to the United States, would be punishing and, perhaps, destabilizing. To the south, across the Arabian Peninsula and Yemen, preparations for another attack were in the making. American warships had recently started refueling in Aden. In early January, the USS Sullivan's, an Ollie Burke-class destroyer, one of America's most sophisticated warships, was scheduled to arrive. A Yemeni cell was getting ready to greet the vessel with a skiff laden with explosives. The cell had a cache of military-grade materials and was fabricating a shaped charge which would direct the blast at the armored hull instead of dissipating energy in all directions. Finally, more than 7,000 miles away, a graduate of the Khalden camp, Ramzi Youssef's alma mater, readied himself in Canada for a trip to the United States. Ahmad Ressam was typical of the Algerians who had migrated to Afghanistan, and in contrast with the more educated Saudis and Egyptians. He had been an illegal immigrant in France and then moved to Montreal, where he lived by theft and welfare. In addition to the usual training, he spent 6 weeks in the advanced explosives course at the Darunta camp outside Jalalabad. There, he and his classmates experimented with chemical agents. They put dogs into enclosed areas, then introduced a mixture of cyanide and sulfuric acid to see how quickly the dogs died. Ressam returned to Montreal with orders to carry out an operation and $12,000 for expenses. His local network of Algerian compatriots provided additional funding and a fake passport, and he began purchasing chemicals and circuit boards with which to build a bomb. His target, or at least his first one, would be Los Angeles International Airport. For all its many subplots, the Millennium Conspiracy was not uncoordinated. All the lines of activity converged in the hands of one man, a young Palestinian living in Peshawar, whose nom de guerre was Abu Zubaydah. Among his many responsibilities, Abu Zubaydah acted as an admissions officer for the training camps, which was how he came to know Ressam. In an organization that carefully restricted the flow of information to those with a need to know, he was one of the few who knew a great deal. Abu Zubaydah's many talents, however, were not equal to the vigilance of the Jordanian authorities, whose anxieties had increased after the 1998 embassy bombings. In the summer of 1999, the Jordanians were certain that a plot was in train. They identified several suspects for surveillance, and they were listening when Abu Zubaydah gave his Jordanian contact the order to carry out the attacks. The Jordanians raided the group's safe house on the outskirts of Amman and were shocked to find a subterranean cache of chemicals, 71 large containers of sulfuric acid and nitric acid, enough to flatten the radisson. News of the discovery electrified intelligence and law enforcement personnel around the world. Heightened alertness paid off in Port Angeles, Washington, where the ferry from British Columbia docks. A customs official decided to search the rental car of a nervous-looking Ahmad Ressam. In the trunk were found over 100 pounds of bomb-making materials. The Yemeni cell was undone briefly by its own mistakes. The operatives stowed their explosives aboard their skiff and began motoring out into the harbor. But they had overloaded their boat. Before they could get close to their target, the skiff began to sink. They managed to save the boat, and the sight of three men struggling in the water seems to have caught no one's notice. But this failure was not too dispiriting for the terrorists. 10 months later, the same plan, though a lighter load, was used to attack the USS Cole. The bombing killed 17 U.S. seamen and tore a hole 40 feet high and 40 feet wide through the half-inch thick steel of the ship's hull, nearly sinking it.